And let us pray. Be with us, God, for if you are with us, nothing else matters. Be with us, God, for if you are not with us, nothing else matters. Before I begin, I would like to thank Father John Jeffrey and the congregation at St. Andrew's for inviting members of my little flock down the road to come and visit you this evening. Thinking about that Luke passage, I ask you, if you were responsible for selecting the young woman who was to become the mother of the Messiah, how would you go about it? Good question. You'd most likely want to find a godly young woman. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But surely you would look for something else as well. Perhaps good genes. The mother of the Messiah should be bright, a pleasant personality, and perhaps attractive as well. Perhaps you would find her at one of the better college campuses in our part of the world. You might look for one who has proven leadership, someone who could really get things done. Perhaps some evidence that the young woman would be a good mother. That would be helpful as well. A young mother who was doing an excellent job of raising her children. You know, experience counts. So a woman who had already had a couple of kids, that would be a big plus too. But we don't have any reason to believe that Mary was any of those things, except that she was a godly woman. Nothing in scriptures leads us to believe that God picked Mary because of her superior intelligence, her appealing appearance, social graces, or her proven abilities. She was not a mother. In fact, she wasn't even married. So Mary seems like a pretty unlikely character for such a great responsibility. Luke tells us only that Mary had found favor with God. Perhaps that tells us more about God than really more about than Mary. God seems to work his best with unlikely candidates. Think about David. David was a good example of the way that God works. You know, God told Samuel to go visit Jesse because God had chosen one of Jesse's sons to be king. So Samuel was to go and identify which son that would be, and he would become the king. Samuel went to Jesse, and Jesse paraded all seven of his sons in front of Jesse, and God rejected each and every one that was paraded in front of him. All seven. Finally, Samuel, you know, said to Jesse, he said, "Do you have any other sons?" And then and only then, Jesse remembered, his youngest son, David, who was out tending the sheep. Obviously, Jesse thought David to be the least likely candidate among his sons. But David was the one whom God chose. Perhaps chosen precisely because he was the unlikely candidate. And then let's remember Gideon. There's a guy we don't hear too much about from the Old Testament. Gideon had assembled this huge, huge army. But God told him to send most of them home. So Gideon did so. And only when his army had been whittled down to 300 men did God allow Gideon to attack the enemy. The reason was clear. If Gideon's great army of thousands of men had won the victory, they would have thought that they had done it by their own power. But God wanted to make it clear that they won the victory by God's power. And then there's Jesus. Now, wouldn't you think that the Son of God would come hopping in a dazzling chariot with trumpets blowing and all sorts of fanfare? That the Son of God would present himself as a great and powerful man, a man not to be trifled with. But Jesus was born in a stable, and he was cradled in a manger. Jesus lived a brief and itinerant life in a far corner of the world, and he died on a cross like a common criminal. What an odd way for God to make his presence known to us. And so it was that God chose Mary, a godly woman, no doubt, but not what you would otherwise call an outstanding candidate to become the mother of the Messiah. The angel told her that she had found favor with God. What had she found favor? How? How had she done that? What had God seen? Perhaps the best answer is simply that God chose to show her favor. The Apostle Paul says, "Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use?" God takes that which is rather ordinary and makes of it something extraordinary. And the one extraordinary thing that Mary did was found in her response to God's call to her. When told of the wonderful things that would happen in her life and her son's, Mary responded, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That was her one special credential, her willingness to obey. To obey God's call wherever it might lead. Her willingness to let God make of her anything that God wanted to make. You know, the potter loves to work with pliable clay. We should hear that as good news because most of us are ordinary people. We get out of bed every morning, not too cheerfully, and not especially ready for the day some days, because we know what lies ahead. It takes everything we've got to get ourselves to look presentable, to go to work, and then to get the kids off to school. We will not often see our picture in the newspaper or often hear people tell us how wonderful we are. Our names most likely won't appear in the history books. And for most of us, the memory of us will fade rather quickly after we die. But the good news is that God loves ordinary people. Loves to work with ordinary people. As I said before, God transforms ordinary people into extraordinary people. And the good news is that God can do great things with us if we're willing to be with Mary and say, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." One of Mary's special credentials was that she never tried to place herself on God's throne, but was willing for God to be God in her. God's call to Mary was something special. She was to become the mother of the Messiah. What an honor. We need to hear God's call to us as something special too. Now, I'm pretty sure that God hasn't called anyone here to be the mother of the Messiah. But God has called all of us to some particular kind of faithful service. The calling to which God calls us must be important because God would not waste God's time. And the calling to which we have been called may seem modest, but in God's hands, our faithfulness turns to gold. Helen Keller, the woman whom we all know overcame her blindness and her deafness and inspiring millions of people, she put it this way. She said, "My share of the work may be limited, but the fact that the work makes it precious. The world is moved not only by the mighty shoves of the heroes, but also by the collection of the tiny pushes of each honest worker." God calls some of us to be pastors, evangelists, to teach in the seminaries, or to be missionaries in foreign lands, and that's wonderful. God calls some of us to sing in the choir, or to teach Sunday school, and that's wonderful. God calls some of us to deliver Meals on Wheels, and that too is wonderful. The calling to which God calls us might be really, really different from that which we had planned, but it is our call. We've seen in Scripture that God can do mighty things through ordinary people. We need only say, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Someone asked Leonard Bernstein, what was the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play? And Bernstein quickly replied, "Second fiddle." He said, "I can always get plenty of first violinists, but to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, or second French horn, or second flute, now that's a problem. Yet, if no one plays second, we have no harmony." I wonder, does God feel like that sometimes about us? If God were to call us to save a whole world, wow, we would be deeply honored. But how do we respond if God calls us to just go next door and knock on the neighbor's door and invite them to come to church with us? Or to go out and feed the hungry? Or to sponsor the youth group? Or to help out in the church office, assuming your church has an office? Yeah, Hank doesn't. Or to serve on a committee? Not only can God do mighty things through ordinary people, but sometimes God's call comes and we ask ourselves, am I qualified to do this? I told the Yaphank folks on Sunday that a member sent me the following messages that she found on her Facebook page last week. It read, "Your mess cannot stop the call of God that's on your life. When God calls you, God equips you for calling. You are not a mistake." The old truth still applies. God is just as likely to qualify the called as to call the qualified. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. We celebrate Christmas next week, and we remember again the coming of the Lord into such humble circumstances as a manger and a stable. Let us remember that his faithfulness to his humble calling saved the world. As we celebrate his coming into the world, let us invite him again into our hearts, that he might lead us, that he might lead you, congregation of St. Andrews, that he might lead you, Father John Jeffrey, and that he might lead you, people of Yaphank Presbyterian Church, that he might make clear to us the calling to which we have been called. And then let us say with Mary, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Let us pray. Awesome God, we admit that there are times we hear your call to us and we question if it's the right path for us. During this time of Advent, we remember it's you who called Mary to give birth to your son, and she did so willingly. May we learn from her example and respond to you as she did. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.